Welcome to Voices of Freedom. We're so glad to have you here this morning. It's a couple of days after the 4th of July, and we're just ready to get settled back in. And I guess everybody's pretty much ready for the weekend right now, not a whole lot of settling back in. But I want to talk to you about the course of human history, and I think it was part of the Declaration of Independence where it says, in the course of human history, when it becomes evident, that we must separate ourselves. But anyway, when in the course of human events? Well, listen, the Bible tells me about a course of human events, and that's what we want to share with you this morning. I want you to see exactly where you're at, and right now why it's so scary to me of a morning. If I take today off and I don't put a lesson out there and don't put a way for you to get to Jesus or call me and let me talk to you about how to get to Jesus, then I'm really failing. And I'm failing because I believe that we are in the last hours of human history. And here's how I believe. We started with Adam and Eve, and God created them out of the dust of the earth, created them, okay? So then he went on a couple of days, and he saw that Adam didn't have a helpmate, so he puts Adam to sleep, takes a rib from Adam, creates woman, and, you know, they're supposed to walk side by side and be a partnership. So things go okay there for a couple of chapters in Genesis, and then they sin, and then the whole human race falls because of sin, okay? Now, we know how it's remedied out there, but just for the course of human history, or as far as God's got planned out for us, let's kind of run through this thing. So after that, the next thing you know, mankind gets worse and worse, or more evil and more evil, maybe a little like we see today, but maybe not to total deprivation that's coming, okay, because it's coming, and you just can't push it back. You can't push, you know, one apple can't push 100 bad ones back, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when the evil's just, it's going to engulf because it just, you know, we can fight it, and that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to fight it. We're supposed to put the word out there. We're supposed to tell people. We're supposed to do all these great things for Jesus, and that's what we're trying to do here. Was tell you that you need to get saved. So we move over to the time of Noah. Noah was commanded to build this boat that looked like a shoebox, if you really want to know the dimensions of it. So the idea of building a boat was kind of new to everybody around because it had never rained at this point. So here's a first example, and probably we could look at other examples, but here's a good, easy example, how about that, to follow, where God tells somebody to do something, and it's life or death if they do it. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to Adam and Eve. He told them, do not mess with this tree with the apple on it or whatever fruit it was, because as surely as you eat that, you will surely die. And the devil said, oh, surely not, because God loves you. Boy, we get tricked with God loves you a whole lot, don't we? So we're fooled with that. God loves you. It's okay. Now, take this thing to Noah and the ark. Noah's building on this boat, and he's preaching. Some say it was 120 years that Noah preached and nobody got saved. Well, I tell you what, if you pastor a church today or if you try to preach a little bit today, you'll find out that people are not as interested as they might have once been, but there's probably no chance to have a 120-year period of preaching and nobody gets saved, you know. Somebody's going to respond in 120 years, which the point of that is how evil that those days had become. So Noah does what God says. Now, that's the key for you and me here, because if we're going to get on the ark of safety and we're going to get out of the hellfire and the flooding and the destruction that's coming, we got to get on the ark. I can only get on the ark if Jesus Christ is my ark. Follow me? So Noah does his part. He puts all the animals together. 40 days and 40 nights it rains. Then he sends out birds there for a while till they find that there's dry land around. So we'll get back to things as they are. God sets up the human government, if you will. So now we get into what we call the patriarch period of time, and it's God revealing just a little bit more of his plan. He pulls out Abraham. Abraham has a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac has a son by the name of Jacob, and Jacob has 12 sons. We know a little bit about that. So that takes us through the period of the patriarchs, establishes who our 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people, are. How did they get to be God's chosen people? When Abraham was called out of the land of Ur, God Almighty said, I am making you a chosen people unto me. So they move along a little bit, okay? Now, in Bible sequence, everything is going pretty good. They end up over in Egypt, about to starve to death, but Joseph saves them. And the next thing you know, he's pulling Moses out to go in and pull his children out of Egypt and deliver them into the wilderness where they can worship their God. So that gets us through the patriarch period of time. Now we get into the prophets, and we get into books like Joshua, who took over for Moses, and we start to learn and start to see some of the prophecy. Now, what's the prophecy about? The whole Bible has pointed to a point in history when Jesus Christ would walk the earth, when the Messiah would come, and he would take away the sins of the world. Not only is he going to take away the sins of the world and reconcile us back to God, but another thing that Jesus has prepared for us, one of the things Jesus has prepared for us, is he went to prepare a place for us. And where are we in human history with this? Well, Jesus has gone to prepare the place. Where is that at? If you look in John chapter 14, you can learn real quick where this is going to happen. John chapter 14, the disciples are all troubled. Jesus has said, I'm going away. I must prepare a place for you. When I prepare the place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what's the point here? The point is it's going to happen, okay, because everything that the Bible has recorded up to the life of Jesus has happened. The probability of things being fulfilled in the Bible, the way that Jesus fulfilled them at his first coming, okay, is incredible. Now here's your kicker. Here's the thing you got to pay attention to. Everything that Jesus did in his first coming, there are still some things that are talked about in his second coming. So the next thing we're waiting on from Jesus is for Jesus to come into this thing, and what's he going to do? Jesus is going to take the church out of here. How do I know that? I know it because of 1 Thessalonians over there. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are walking around will be caught up to meet them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's all that's left. This is the point of human history that we sit in today. Isn't it an exciting thing and a scary thing to be able to read your Bible right there to 1 Thessalonians and see that you sit at the moment in time where Jesus could come back right now and take us all out of here, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Now, you say, well, but what about those that don't go? Well, those that are walking around that don't go, God's going to pour out his wrath on this earth for a seven-year tribulation period. The first 3.5 years of that period are the Antichrist and false prophet and all of them just trying to get things lined up. But by the end of the seven-year tribulation period, and that's the only thing that'll be kicked off the moment that the church leaves here. And that seven-year tribulation will be the worst 7 years of human history. There will be suffering like never before. Jesus talked about that, you know, parents will be heartbroken that they even brought kids into this world when they're trying to nurse kids and raise kids during this period of time. Half of the population is gone. All the fresh water is gone. Or I think it was like half of it or something like that. Or maybe it was a third or a fourth, or, you know, but you know how that goes. First it was the salt water, then it was the fresh water. First you could see, and then the skies were blocked. Well, look at all the volcanic action that we've got going on around. You ever stop to think about all that? All the volcanoes in Hawaii that are going off, and somebody posted something on the news the other day that said the volcanoes under Central America here, right here where we're at, Central America. We're not in Central, we're in North. But here in the United States, under the ground, there are some moving volcanoes all of a sudden. That's the kind of ash that would go up that would, guess what it would do? It would block your visibility. See, the thing about it is everything that's ever been invented, God has put it here. All the destruction that God talks about in the Bible, it's already here to be used. The volcanoes, the poisons, the carcinogens, all the things, you know, all the things that are going to destroy, they're here. They're able to be used, you see. So we have that situation. So the tribulation period comes. At the end of the tribulation period is the actual second coming of Jesus Christ. What is he doing? Well, the armies of the world, all these crazy people still think they can fight God. See, we're living in a day and time where people are already starting to think they're smarter than God, that they can fight God, that there's a master plan here above God, all these things that people are thinking. And it's the silliest thing ever, and that's about what the Battle of Armageddon is. It talks about lining up the armies of the world to fight God, and God just blows through like a wind and kills these people. Folks, there's no standing against God. There's nothing you can't do. You can't do it. God's got this thing figured out. He's got this master plan. Whew. It's incredible. It's incredible what God's done, what he can do, what he will do. Then at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, the devil, oh, no, hold on a second, I got that out of place. We need a 1,000-year millennial reign by Jesus Christ on this earth. And at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil's loosed for a little bit to tempt those who have not been tempted that walk the earth. I don't know why it has to be that way, but it has to be. So they're turned loose, and for a little while they're tempted, and then the devil is bound forever in the bottomless pit, and we go into a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth are passed away. Now, of course, that's the Reader's Digest version, and that's really quick, but the bottom line is, folks, that's your human history. You're sitting in the last hours of human history, the last hours of life on earth as we know it. Do you want to go to heaven? Because if you do, you have to say to Jesus, Jesus, I see that I'm a sinner. This is the kind of sinner I am, Lord. I did this, I did, you know, I ought to know some of the sins. I could name you all mine. Not all of them individually, but the types of sin that I was involved in. How can I do it? I can do it because guess what? I remember it. I remember the hurtfulness of it. You know what I'm saying? For the person just to say, well, I'll forgive my sins. You know, what does that mean? See, but we've got to get into a position where we understand what our sins are, how they hurt other people, how we may have even hurt ourselves with our own sins. Well, we definitely hurt ourselves because we'd be on our way to hell. And realize where you're at. Start to look in the newspaper every day. I see just as many people under my age as I do over my age in the newspaper. That's kind of an eye-opening situation. Be ready to meet the Lord because he will be coming. Be ready to meet the Lord because guess what? He's got a plan that's better than your plan, I guarantee it. Have a great weekend, but please take the time to think about Jesus and the master plan that he has for your life. Oh, he wants a relationship with you. He might be the only one in the whole world left that does. You ever thought about that? Talk to you soon.